Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday over the airways of SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio, coming at you from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, all over the airways of Channel 82 Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Again, it's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. You know what? We've been talking about Shedeur Sanders the last couple of days. We've been talking about the Dallas Cowboys going up against the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday, because obviously that's a big game. And with what we've seen from Dallas, particularly the other day against the Las Vegas Raiders, if, you know, considering that what they've got on their schedule over the next 3 weeks between the Philadelphia Eagles, Kansas City Chiefs, and obviously, you know, the Detroit Lions. I mean, what you've got available to you, I'm talking about the Dallas Cowboys, considering the challenges that you have against you, you've got to win two of these three games and six of your final seven games in order to really have a reasonable shot at making the playoffs. Obviously, that's a point of contention. That's a point of discussion, and we all know it has to happen. But to me, I got to tell y'all something right now. On this particular day, that is going to have to take a back seat just for a few moments to lead off this show, so I can take a moment to talk about a team in the AFC that put everybody on notice that, guess what? You're going to have to deal with these brothers. You're going to have to see them. I'm talking about the Houston Texans. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a defense that went against Josh Allen last night and went at him like Lord knows what. I mean, you got to be kidding me. It was something special to behold. And when you looked at Will Anderson, when you looked at Hunter, when you look at Lassiter and Singleton and Singletary in the secondary, when you look at this cat Bullock, I mean, it was scary. It was scary to watch. There's no other way to slice it. The Houston Texans, and see, for me, here's what I like to say to y'all, okay? Because this is very, very important for me to say. I love it when a team is living up to its identity. And what I mean by that is this. I can't stand when you were an elite offensive coordinator and that's what got you a head coaching job, and then as the head coach, your offense sucks. I can't stand when you're a defensive stalwart and that's what got you the head coaching job, because you were a defensive stalwart as a defensive coordinator, okay? And then that gets you a head coaching job, and then all of a sudden your defense sucks. I hate that. I like when you live up to your signature, that when you're about what brought you there. And when we look at D'Amico Ryans for the Houston Texans, let me tell you something. That's what we're talking about. We know what kind of defensive coordinator he was in San Francisco. But looking at Houston, looking at this team that was adroit enough to move up in the draft and get and enable themselves to get a quarterback in C.J. Stroud and still get Will Anderson out of Alabama, and to watch this brother play some football, to go after the quarterback, to terrorize Josh Allen the way that they did last night, en route to eight sacks, and ultimately the Texans beating the Buffalo Bills 23-19. I just can't say enough about it. And you're going to look at it, and of course we're going to look at Davis Mills, and you know what? He's been there the last three games, and because C.J. Stroud has been out with a concussion, 5 touchdown passes and just 1 interception and 2 game-winning drives and a 3 starts with C.J. Stroud. Damn it, he ain't C.J. Stroud. He's done a decent job. Let's not act like, oh my goodness, there should be some quarterback controversy. No, that's not what's going on here. But what's going on here is a Texas defense that might be the best in football. You've heard cats talk about this defense and say they ain't seen anybody like this in a generation. You got to go to the Baltimore Ravens with Ray Lewis. You got to go to some of the elite defenses that this game has ever seen when you're bringing up what Houston looked like last night. It was ferocious. I mean, the speed. And then you got cats spinning over and shoving aside 300-pound offensive linemen like they were nothing. And you're seeing this kind of stuff right now. And I'm saying, oh, my damn. I didn't expect that. Overwhelming pass rush. 8 sacks. Anderson had 2.5 of those sacks. Applied a team-high 9 pressures. Houston also forced three turnovers, two of which led to field goals. And you got this cat, Kalen Bullock, the safety, that, by the way, had a couple of interceptions and a sack. They might have the best defense in football. I mean, they got after Josh Allen like a bunch of piranhas. And I'm looking at them. Yeah, you gave up a touchdown on special teams. Okay? Yeah, they gave up the run to Cook. I got that. That's about it. Everything else was facilitated by offensive errors. Houston's defense showed up. Now, we can look at Buffalo in a certain kind of way, and we have to talk about them in this regard. We really, really do. Okay? We have to talk about them in this regard. Number one, why is Keon Coleman on the sideline? Not that he would have made much of a difference, in my opinion. Not that he's that big of a deal yet. But he is a starting wide receiver. You didn't get Jalen Waddle before the trade deadline. Okay? Shakir was out there, played a good game, had about 9 catches for 110 yards, but did fumble. Did get stripped on a fumble and that Houston ultimately recovered. We all know that the Buffalo Bills are bereft of the weapons necessary in order to have the level of potency it once had. When you had Stephon Diggs there along with others, that's no longer the case. Kincaid was out last night. Don't you need all your horses? Now, this was a healthy scratch, Keon Coleman. And I'm quite sure being late for meetings, can't have that. I get that part. I understand it. But what about Josh Allen? What about making sure that he has the weapons necessary in order for him to do what he needs to do? What about making sure that he's got the help that he needs? He's your franchise quarterback. You can't find and come up with different and more inventive ways to punish players. Have Keon Coleman's behind out there running suicides for hours. Make sure he gets so exhausted, he pukes, he throws up. Do something else other than prevent him from being available on a Thursday night football game. That's what I would say. But that's not what Houston did. It really, really isn't. So it is what it is. And that's where we go. In the end, Buffalo doesn't look like what it's supposed to look like. Okay? They really, really don't. After starting off winning his first four games of the season, they don't appear to be the same team. They're still in the sixth spot. Okay? Still in the sixth spot. So you give them credit where credit is due with a 7-4 record, but they're two games behind the Patriots in the AFC East. And I think when you look at them right now, committing three turnovers again for the third consecutive game. Right now, the Buffalo Bills have more turnovers in the last three games than they had in all season long last year. They got 9 turnovers in the last three games. They have 8 for the season. That's what they have. In the end, it is what it is. So, I don't really have much to say about Buffalo. I think they're a good enough team. I think Josh Allen is a stud. I think they're a good enough team to make the playoffs, but I don't expect much more from them than that. Right now, I say here's why you have to pay attention to Houston, because they don't need to blitz to get to the quarterback. They can send 4. Okay? And they've got skill and speed and depth at every level. Whether it's your defensive line, whether it's your linebacking crew, whether it's your secondary, it doesn't matter. They have it all. Their defense is ferocious. And I'm looking at it and I'm saying, well, if you could get to the quarterback, we did see Patrick Mahomes losing the Super Bowl because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and then ultimately the Philadelphia Eagles both were able to get at him. We saw what Houston could do to Josh Allen. So who's to say they can't do that to Josh Allen or even Lamar Jackson's a different beast because of his elusivity. And I get that part. So you have to focus on containment because can't let him out of the pocket because he could kill you. But outside of that, let's look at it. Drake May can ball and he can run with the football, but all right. He's a second-year player. Can you get to him? I think so. Aaron Rodgers is a stationary target. What you going to do with him? Can you get to him? I think so. You can do that. So Daniel Jones, you can't get to him. You can't rattle Daniel Jones. We just going to forget all those years with the New York Giants? I think you can. Justin Herbert, yes, he's a stud. He can ball. What's he done in the playoffs? This is his sixth year in the league. He still hasn't won a playoff game. Matter of fact, against Jacksonville, he had a 27-0 lead a few years ago, and Jacksonville came back on him. I think it was like Trevor Lawrence's second year in the league. Bo Nix, he ain't that experienced. And we know what Denver's offense looks like for the most part through the first three quarters of a season, of a game. So when you look at Houston's defense and who, in all likelihood, they'll be scheduled to go up against if they were able to get from the eighth spot into the one of the top seven spots and make the playoffs, this is not a team you want to face. And if C.J. Stroud comes back, as expected, and he balls, look the hell out. Houston Texans could represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. That's how vicious their defense looks. I'm just saying, y'all. I'm just saying. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You are listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. That's one item I wanted to get into. The other is the obvious, and that's Shedeur Sanders. Ladies and gentlemen, the Cowboys, as popular as they are, I suspect that even though they're coming on at different times in all likelihood, more eyeballs in terms of interest and intrigue will be on Shedeur Sanders this weekend than it will even on the Dallas Cowboys. And they're playing the Eagles. Let me make it plain and simple for you. When you look at the Dallas Cowboys right now, that will pale in comparison to Shedeur Sanders. I think Shedeur Sanders' career in Cleveland is on the line. Because I think you have enough people who don't want him to succeed. Now, I don't know who those people are. You just hear the cynicism and the skepticism, and you know it comes from somewhere. And the Cleveland Browns don't appear to be on the right page. The offensive coordinator and the head coach and Kevin Stefanski appear to be on a different page than the GM and the owner, possibly. You know, I don't know. But here's what I do know. I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but don't tell me it's not okay to at least ask the question, what was up with Kevin Stefanski? This is a two-time coach of the year. How does a quarterback get on the field for you that's a QB2? No reps with the first team. They don't know his cadence or anything like that. He seemed ill-prepared. How the hell that happened when you're a two-time coach of the year? Now, one could easily make the argument against Kevin Stefanski that since he arrived in 2020, this is his 13th different starting quarterback. Okay, fair enough. What that means is that he ain't the quarterback whisperer they say that Kevin O'Connell is. But he clearly can coach the game of football. You have a monster in Myles Garrett who is the best defensive player in the world. You have a bunch of cats beside him on the defensive side of the ball in Cleveland that are big time themselves. They might not be Houston, but they're pretty damn close. Cleveland got a damn good defense. What the issue is, more so than anything else, is the fact that they can't score. And because you can't score, you got your defense out in the field all the damn time looking absolutely positively exhausted. Because look, the offense just isn't that good. And if I remember correctly, this Raiders-Browns game, 4:05 Eastern Standard Time, CBS, is coming on the same time as the Eagles-Cowboys game. I think if that's true, this is one of those games where Dallas is going to be challenged ratings-wise. They're saying Cleveland's starting at 4:05. They're saying Dallas is starting on Fox at 4:25. I'm just letting you know. In the day and age that we're living in with YouTube and, you know, the multi-view channels and all of this other stuff, probably watch both at the same time. Just as many people are going to be watching Shedeur Sanders as are going to be watching the Cowboys because we want to see whether or not the brother can play on the National Football League level. Kevin Stefanski made the announcement that he's going to be the starting quarterback this Sunday. So you know what? Everybody's going to want to see. Yo, okay, you did get first-team reps. You do know the playbook. Okay? Are protections in place? Is he going to get the ball out of his hands? Is he going to hold on to the ball too much? Is he going to try to make things happen? What's going to be the difference between him and Dylan Gabriel? We're going to ask ourselves those questions. Everybody's going to be answering. All inquiry minds want to know. No matter what happens, I think Shedeur Sanders will get an opportunity to play quarterback elsewhere if not in Cleveland. But I think in Cleveland, this performance is going to determine whether he's going to get another start or not. This is what the situation is. And the Browns as an organization, you've done a disservice to your defense. Look at the Browns offense. What do you have? No wonder Jerry Jeudy is so disgusted, giving terse answers and all of this other stuff. Nobody's pleased with what they're seeing in Cleveland. They got to get it together. They got to get it together. So we need to understand it. We need to accept that. It needs to be what it is. We got to get all of that in order. In the end, this week is about Shedeur Sanders. His career in Cleveland is likely on the line. And in terms of confidence in his abilities as an NFL player, that's going to be brought up to question as well. Because everybody's watching. If you can't perform against the Raiders this weekend, who is anybody to believe that you can do something against others? It just remains to be seen. It just remains to be seen. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. That's another subject we'll get into. Third subject is the Cowboys from this standpoint. If the Dallas Cowboys want to make the playoffs, they have to win. This is a must-win game for the Cowboys. They lose this game, you ain't making the playoffs. You've already lost to the Chicago Bears. You've already lost to the Philadelphia Eagles once. You've already lost to the Arizona Cardinals. You've tied with the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay, Chicago already ahead of you. You lost to the Carolina Panthers. They beat you too, and they're ahead of you. So Dallas, who clearly ain't going to win the division, if you want a shot at the playoffs as a wild card team, you got to win six of your final seven games. And if you lose this game to the Philadelphia Eagles, with Kansas City and Detroit on the horizon, who the hell is going to believe that you're going to run the table? Who's going to believe that? Nobody's going to believe that. This is it. Cowboys got to win this game. They really, really do. And by the way, let me say this. Not that any loss is a good loss, but I think the Eagles losing this game could end up being the best thing that happens to them. Because with all this noise that's being made about A.J. Brown, about Jalen Hurts, about the offense in Philadelphia and how they kind of get their act together, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You want to get your act together if you're the Philadelphia Eagles? Go ahead and lose to the Cowboys. Because you won't have any peace of mind for the rest of the season, knowing you lost to them. I think this could be the thing that springs and spearheads the Philadelphia Eagles' resurgence. I think beating Dallas allows them to be as cocky as ever. We're going to be all right. Ain't nothing to worry about, etc. But losing to the Cowboys, I think could be something that makes the Eagles say, damn, we got to get our act together. Defensively, they're already doing that. The acquisition of Phillips is no joke. And, I mean, I just can't say enough about it. And Jalen Carter, remember, that first game against the Eagles, I'm sorry, against the Cowboys, he didn't play because 6 seconds in, he spit on the chest of Dak Prescott. And because he did that, he got ejected for the game. So the Dallas Cowboys didn't have to face Jalen Carter last time. They'll have to face him this time, along with Phillips, along with the rest of the crew. Don't underestimate him. Flip side is, Dallas got some of the hits horses. I mean, their defense doesn't look as bad as it once did. When you look at what the Dallas Cowboys have done, acquiring Quinnen Williams, acquiring Logan Wilson, getting Overshown back, their defense doesn't look the same either. So it's going to be real interesting to see what happens. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. You heard what I said. Derek in New York, you're live with Stephen A. Talk to me. What's up, D?
What's up? How you doing? You think why the quarterback matters more than like back in the 70s, 80s? Like the quarterback matters more now than like 70s, 80s. The running back might be more matter by that at that time, but now it's the quarterback now.
Speed, athleticism, the game has changed immensely. The physicality that was once allowed isn't necessarily the case anymore. The game has been a bit more complicated to call schematically and what have you. And as a result, I think that that has led to the leaning on of quarterbacks more so than ever before. You got to be able to fling that football. You got to be able to run an offense. You know what? You could be called for a false start. You could be called for offside. You could be called for a lot of different things. So much emanates from the quarterback position in terms of cadences and calls and things of that nature. That's what has assisted in making it so very, very, very much more important as well.
Also, international games. Do you think that there'll be more international games next year or the year after that?
No question. NFL is trying to globalize its brand. How do you make more money? I mean, you've gotten as much money as you could possibly get here in America. How do you get more money? By engaging on the international and the global scene, by globalizing your brand, by making sure people in Berlin and London and France and Sweden and Morocco and all of these other and Dublin, Ireland and other places are all interested. When the Steelers played the Vikings in Dublin, Ireland, did you see how many Steelers fans were there? It was crazy. It was crazy. So that's what I'm talking about. You globalize your brand. You get people interested in your brand, your product and stuff like that. That kind of stuff touches you. And it puts more money in your coffers. That's how you get more, by globalizing a brand.
Yep.
The NBA doesn't get a $77 billion deal, okay, if the NBA hasn't successfully globalized this brand. It doesn't happen. So that's what we got to pay attention to. Appreciate the call, though, man. Thank you so much. Sean in Massachusetts, you're live with Stephen A. What's up, Sean? How are you?
Hey, Stephen A. Always an honor to talk to you, man.
Yeah, man. No problem.
We had a conversation yesterday on Drake May's
yes, sir.
Response to Cam Newton, and I rewatched it, and you said on the record he was a liar. I don't understand that. It kind of rubbed me the wrong way on that.
Okay. Well, listen. Let me say this to you. Maybe it's too strong. What I was just talking about when he was saying that he didn't know where Cam was. The only reason I said he was a liar when he said he didn't know where Cam was working at. That's all I said he was a liar about. I was being facetious because it wasn't that big of a deal. In other words, Cam Newton's on national television. And your reaction was, yeah, I don't even know where he works. I just didn't believe that. That's all. I wasn't calling him a liar about anything else, just that he didn't know where Cam. But you know what? You're all right. I don't know Drake May. I've never spoken to him or anything like that. Again, I was being facetious. I wasn't being serious about that point. So if people take it that way, sure, I can apologize for that. It's no big deal. You understand? But I wasn't being serious. I was just saying, in other words, if you said, let's say, for example, hypothetically, you said up there, you say to me, I go off about the Patriots, right? And Sean in Massachusetts calls me. And you say, Stephen A., I don't know what you said, but you know what? Here's how I feel. But I have no idea what you said about my Patriots. And I say, you're lying. You were listening to the show. That's all I meant. You understand? You understand? It was no big deal. But if people want me to apologize for that, that's fine. I'm hearing Dave Portnoy was demanding an apology. First of all, you ain't demanding shit from me. Excuse my language. You understand? I respect Portnoy for a lot of different reasons. I really do. I've never had any issue with him. I don't want to see no headline demanding an apology. What if I demanded an apology for some of the things he says? I mean, please, give me a break, okay? So just chill with that. But, again, I wasn't being really serious about that part of Drake May, and I shouldn't speak about Portnoy until I know exactly what he said. I only saw a headline. I have no idea what he said. But I'll address it at another time, probably on my podcast later. But I wasn't serious about him lying. I don't know whether he was lying or not. I just said that, don't tell me you don't know where Cam Newton was working. Like, you don't know that he's on First Take twice a week. I don't believe that. I just don't. But that's okay.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Just wanted to clear the air on that, because it's like, when I hear it like that, and I think some people hear it like that, it's like you're questioning somebody's integrity. But if it's for fun, like even
But Sean, I have to say this to you while you're on the phone. I appreciate you calling. For this particular issue, like I said, when I talked about a lion and Cam Newton and all that stuff, I was just being facetious. But I need you to understand something very, very, that's very important to me that you understand. I'm not here to make enemies. I'm not here to be disliked. But I don't give a damn either. I say what I say. If I'm playing around like I was yesterday, that's different. But be clear, for future reference, when you call up to this show, if I rub you the wrong way from time to time, so be it. I'm going to rub you the wrong way. If you spoke for 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, for a minimum of 45 weeks a year, speaking 450 hours a year minimum, I'm quite sure everything you say wouldn't be kosher with everybody. Some things you say might rub them the wrong way. And if you worried about that, you couldn't host a radio show. And you couldn't do a debate show. I'm going to rub people the wrong way from time to time. That comes with the business. And it's important that people understand that. I don't want to make enemies. I really don't. I'm not trying to be hated. But I'm not here to ensure that that doesn't happen either. I say what I mean what I say, unless I'm playing around. And that is that. And I accept the consequences that come with it. So please know that about me, Sean, for future reference, okay? It's very important to me that you know that. Because I don't get affected by people, oh, the shrapnel of vitriol and criticism. Oh, my God, they're going to come Stephen A's way. Bring it. I don't care. And I'll see what Dave Portnoy had to say, and I'll respond accordingly. But I respect him. I respect the work that he's done. I respect the businessman that he has been. But headlines demanding an apology? Please. No demand from Portnoy going to affect me. So let's make sure we're clear about that. But I respect him. And I respect what he's accomplished and what he's established for himself. And I wish him nothing but the best. Ain't nobody demanding a damn thing from me. And it's going to affect me. I'll apologize if I want to apologize. And I won't if I don't. Period. 888 Mad Dog 6 is the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. More of the Stephen A. Smith Show. Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio in a minute.